Good morning, everyone, and sorry I can't be with you in person as I continue to recover from COVID. I'm much, much better, but it still didn't make sense to be with you this morning. I just want to thank you for your prayers and the many expressions of good wishes. It's really appreciated. But this morning, we continue to think about deepening our spiritual relationship with God, carrying on from where Chris was sharing last week about that importance of just spending time alone in God's presence. And today we're going to be focusing on the Bible. It's a generally accepted principle, and one I'm fully on board with, that followers of Jesus should devote time and give priority to reading and engaging with the Bible. But why is this important, and how can we best do it? It's worth reminding ourselves of what the Bible is. We often refer to it as a book, and it is a book that is found on many bookshelves and in bookshops and libraries around the world. But the word itself comes from a Greek word, biblia, which basically meant books, and reflects the fact that our Bible actually contains 66 separate books. And as we look at those books, we find a vast variety of literature, history, stories, biographies, laws, wise sayings, songs, poems, letters, prophetic writings, writings that give insight into what is happening at the time and prepares us for what will happen in the future. And there's so much more. These books were written by about 30 different people over approximately 1,500 years and in three languages. They tell a fascinating story of how God has made himself known, how he has chosen and worked through a particular group of people, how and why he sent his son into the world, how God wants his people to live in relationship with him, what his plans are for the future. And we've just seen a great summary of that story by Heather and the girls. And because it contains many types of literature, we should expect to find things presented in different ways, calling on us to engage with them appropriately. We will sometimes find historical details to give us information about what has happened. We will see intimate details of people's lives, not necessarily to be emulated and copied, but to learn from. We will come across ideas expressed poetically or using irony or examples from the natural world. We will see letters written to people responding to their situation without always knowing the details of those situations. So reading and engaging with the Bible can be challenging, as we need to think carefully about what we're reading and how it is seeking to communicate. But it is also amazing, rewarding and helpful. Because at the heart of it all is the wonderful reality that the creator of the universe, the God who loves us deeply, has chosen to communicate with us through this collection of writings. And as we read and explore what it says, we gain a deeper appreciation of God, a deeper understanding of ourselves, and guidance as to how we should live. Because even though it was written by human authors, in a variety of ways, it is God's word to us. Paul puts it like this in the opening words of 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is God-breathed. God has inspired it. God has breathed it out. God has spoken through it. And we have the privilege of receiving it, of listening to, of submitting ourselves to what God has said. Yes, the scriptures Paul was referring to here would mainly have been our Old Testament scriptures, but over time we've applied the same understanding to the entirety of our Bible, as the New Testament scriptures were added in light of the person and work of Jesus. And Paul goes on to explain why these scriptures are important. In verse 16 and 17 he says that all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Paul here is writing to his young protege, a pastor at Ephesus, and he's reminding him of how the scriptures can be used in his work, in teaching others, in challenging and encouraging people back onto the right path, in training people. So it's very much an active engagement with the realisation that the basis of what Timothy says needs to be based in the scriptures. And that's a good reminder for us. as we seek to navigate our way through life and as we seek to speak with others about Jesus, the Bible is a great resource to draw from and to base our words in. But it's not just to enable us to communicate God's word to others. It's also that these words are also vitally important for us in understanding what God is saying to us and how he wants us to live. And to explore that idea a little further, we're going to look at Psalm 119. Not all of it, but to give us an insight into what it says. Let's read those first 8 verses. And then we'll think about the psalm as a whole and what it's saying to us. The psalm starts, "Blessed are those whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his statutes and seek him with all their heart. They do no wrong, but follow his ways. You have laid down precepts that are to be fully obeyed. Oh, that my ways were steadfast in obeying your decrees. Then I would not be put to shame when I consider all your commands. I will praise you with an upright heart as I learn your righteous laws. I will obey your decrees. Do not utterly forsake me." This psalm, the longest psalm, the longest chapter in the Bible, is amazing, both from a literary perspective and in the delight of the psalmist in God's written word and laws and his desire to live according to it. We're not sure exactly what written scriptures he had access to, but he clearly treasured them very highly. From a literary perspective, the psalm has 176 verses, split into 22 groups of 8 verses each. Within each group, each verse starts with the same letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and there are 22 letters in all. The focus is on God's word, referred to in different ways, but all really referring to the same type of idea, that which God has revealed to us and by which he calls us to live. 8 terms are used in the original Hebrew, translated in slightly different ways, resulting in words such as law, statutes, precepts, decrees, commands, laws, word, and promise, with one of those appearing at least once in all but 4 verses of the psalm. Other words which appear frequently are a way, path, and pathway. It speaks of the experience of one person who had fallen in love with the God who is revealed in his word. A person who delighted to find out more about God through that word, and is encouraging others to do so as well. Many different themes are raised. Praise, protest, trust, pleas for God to act, acknowledgement of wrongdoing, but all within the context of a focus on the teaching of God. And it challenges me. Do I have that same love for the word of God? Do I seek to know it better? Do I really desire to know the one of whom it speaks? This, I think, is the challenge of the psalm. And how do I take that knowledge, how do I take that understanding and change the way in which I live so it aligns more with what God has for me? Let's go back and look briefly at what we saw in those first 8 verses. As we do so, we need to remind ourselves that these words were written before Jesus, before the Spirit coming into our lives, to a people who were called to follow and live according to God's revealed law. Our context is different, and I'll pick up on that shortly. But for now, let's look at the insights that this psalmist had learned. In the first verse, the psalmist is asserting, right at the beginning of the psalm, that the way to living a blame-free life and to experience deep and rich blessing is to walk according to the law of God. Many people today have many different ideas about the way to achieve happiness and satisfaction and purpose in life. For this psalmist, it's about orienting his life around what God was calling for of him. In verses 2 and 3, the psalmist develops this idea by speaking about the importance of keeping God's statutes and of seeking God fully and desperately, and how this results in people doing no wrong. An amazing thought that the more we align ourselves to God, the more we live in a way that is pleasing to Him and a way that is beneficial to others. In verse 4, there's a reminder that God expected His law to be obeyed, and there were consequences for not doing so. A challenge for us when we think it's okay to just do our own thing, that if it works for us, then it's all right. In verse 5, the psalm recognises that he doesn't keep the law as he should, and he calls out to God for help in doing so. He doesn't give up and think it's just all over. But he's saying, I know I'm not as good at doing this as I want to be, as I should be, and God, I want you to help me. What a great plea, what a great call out to God for help in doing and living as he calls us to. In verse 6, the psalmist looks forward to receiving God's help. He recognises that this can help him to not be ashamed for failing to be obedient to God's law. God does not leave us alone to do this, but he comes alongside us and helps us. There's a recognition in verse 7 that learning God's law resulted in the psalmist wanting to praise God more. And in so many ways, that is often our response as we gain a deeper appreciation of God, a deeper understanding of his word, that our hearts and our spirits and our emotions well up in praise to this God. And the psalmist finishes this section by committing himself to fully obeying God's law. As I mentioned a few moments ago, before we started looking at these verses, our context after the life and death of Jesus is somewhat different from that of the psalmist. We know that just trying to keep the law is not enough. We will fail. We need to receive God's forgiveness through putting our faith in Jesus, to recognise that when he died on the cross, it was for us. And it is through believing in him and through that alone that we can have life. But there are still amazing thoughts just in these first 8 verses which challenge and question us in many different ways. Do we love, cherish, value the written word of God, which we have the privilege of owning and reading and studying? Do we delight in time spent in reflecting on what God has revealed of himself? Do we seek to understand the implications of his word and put it into practice in our lives? Do we ask God to give us greater understanding and insight? Does our reading of God's word cause us to praise him more fully and completely? We're going to look at some more verses from this amazing psalm and reflect on them quietly. Each one will appear on the screen for about 15 seconds. And as we do so, think about whether these words express our thoughts, whether they communicate something important, about whether there are things in these words that challenge us, whether there are things in these words that we are going to respond to by changing how we live. And for each of us, it may be a different verse, a different phrase, a different idea that speaks to us and that says, actually, this may be God speaking to me and saying, this is how God wants me to reorient my life around him. So let's reflect on some of these more amazing ideas from this psalm together. Verse 11, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Verse 18, open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law. Verse 36, turn my heart towards your statutes and not towards selfish gain. Verse 48, I reach out for your commands, which I love, that I may meditate on your decrees. Verse 68, you are good, and what you do is good. Teach me your decrees. Verse 86, all your commands are trustworthy. Help me, for I'm being persecuted without cause. Verse 93. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have preserved my life. Verse 105. Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. Verse 114, you are my refuge and my shield. I have put my hope in your word. Verse 137, you are righteous, Lord, and your laws are right. Verse 163, I hate and detest falsehood, but I love your law. Verse 175, let me live that I may praise you, and may your laws sustain me. Some amazing words to think about, to reflect on, to pray into, to allow them to go deep into our hearts, into our souls, into our minds, to remind us of the privilege of engaging with what God has said to us and to seek to live according to it. God has chosen to reveal himself in his word. And we are so privileged to have it and to be able to read it. But as we come into the New Testament, we find another reference to the Word of God that just gives us a different insight into how God has revealed himself to us. John 1:1 has these amazing words. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And if we read on in that chapter, we would find that the word referenced here is Jesus. And that he came as the full and final and complete revelation of God. We see this idea picked up again in Hebrews, in those first three few verses there. It is in Jesus that we see supremely who God is. It is he who makes it possible for us to have a deep and meaningful relationship with God. And Jesus spoke about how God's word was important for our lives. It clearly was important to him as he read it, as he meditated on it, as he used it powerfully in so many different ways. He spoke about its importance in just the same way as physical food is for our bodies. In Matthew 4:4, Jesus is being tempted by the devil in the wilderness immediately after his baptism, just before he starts his public ministry. And the devil is tempting him to change stones into bread. And Jesus says, it is written, it is in God's word, Jesus is saying, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. It is important We don't just live by eating food, but we are also sustained by every word that comes from God. Jesus went on in John 5:39 to speak of the written scriptures and what their purpose was. And it's very clear, Jesus says. You study the scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. These are the very scriptures that testify about me. We have even more reason than the psalmist to get excited about the scriptures that God has given us, because they speak about Jesus. They enable us to know more about him and, through his Spirit, to know him better. Let's let that motivate us to a deeper love and study of the Bible, not for its own ends, but so that we can know and love Jesus more, and we can understand how he wants us to live. But how do we do it? We've thought about some of the reasons for engaging with this amazing collection of books that God has given us, but it is something that many Christians struggle with. So it's worth thinking about some good practice. And you may know people who've got this sorted. Chat with them and talk with them and find out what works for them. I know, for example, that for some people, reading the printed word is not something they find easy. We have the privilege of having audio Bibles available in a range of formats, and so we can listen to it if we find that easier. Excuse me. But however we choose to engage, it is important that we do. And with the words of Jesus about God's word giving us life in a similar way to bread, we should be engaging with God's word each day, just as we tend to eat every day. It does take work. It does take discipline. It does take prioritisation. But it is vitally important, if we're going to receive this life-giving nourishment from God, that God wants to pour into our lives and bless us. There are many different ways people choose to do this, at different times in the day and in different formats. And it is important to find a model that works for you. For me, taking time each morning before getting into the activities of the day works best. And so each day, for as long as I can remember, I put aside time to be with God, to read and reflect on his word and to pray. I think I've been doing this for over 50 years. I'm sure I missed a day or two somewhere, but that's been my pattern. And there are different challenges in doing this depending on what stage in life you're in. I do recognise that. But I do believe it is important to have this as a priority. For a number of years, I would read through the Bible in that year, completely from beginning to end. Sometimes, you know, from the first chapter to the last, sometimes doing it more in a chronological way, looking at the bits that appear, that tell the first part of the story first, because the Bible is not always laid out that way. So different ways of doing that. And I would use different translations each year to seek different insights and ideas. Really, really helpful. More recently, I've slowed down. And while still reading through biblical books, I tend to just read a short passage each day to reflect on it and to pray into it. Some make use of study aids, Bible study notes, daily devotions, and so on. Some make use of podcasts and blogs to gain insights and ideas from. And all of these can be helpful, really, really helpful, so long as they encourage you to spend time reading the Bible and not just thinking about what others are saying about it. The insights and ideas of others can be really, really helpful, but it is God's word that gives life. If you already have this daily practice of spending time in reading God's word, I'd encourage you to continue doing so and to continue to receive richly from God. If not, and you'd like to give it a go, and I'd encourage you to do so, but you don't know how, then please speak with someone, me or anyone else you know who spends time reading the Bible, and ask for some suggestions. There might be some resource that is helpful. You might want recommendations as to which bits of the Bible to start with, maybe which translation to use. But please don't let this opportunity pass you by, this opportunity to get into the habit of spending time each day in listening to God through his word. And here are some simple questions that can be helpful to think about when reading. They can apply to any passage. Question one. What does this tell me about God? Question two. What does this tell me about me? About humanity? Question three. What change is it calling for in my life? Question four. What am I going to do about it? Question five. Who am I going to tell? Because this is not just something we do for ourselves, but something to bless others. However you do it, however you engage with God's word, I just pray that you will do it more and more, and it will be a deeper, deeper source of blessing and encouragement in your life, and you can share that encouragement with others.